Now, Russia's attack on Ukraine continued during the last day with increased bombing of civilian areas. There were reports of multiple civilian casualties in the second largest city of Kharkiv, and a convoy of more Russian troops was headed toward the capital city of Kyiv today. The invasion brought several rounds of economic sanctions from the United States and allies over the last week. In Congress, members of both parties have condemned Russia's attack, and lawmakers are considering President Biden's request for $6.4 billion of humanitarian and security aid for Ukraine. The Ideas Network reached out to Wisconsin's delegation to talk with them about the situation in Ukraine. On Thursday, Republican Representative Mike Gallagher joins the morning show. Ron Kind joins us now. He's a Democrat representing the 3rd Congressional District in Western Wisconsin. Representative Kind, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Rob. Glad to be with you.
What are your thoughts on the situation in Ukraine today and how the U.S. and allies have responded so far?
Well, this cannot stand. Putin cannot win, and he will not win in the long run. And I'm very pleased with the show of unity throughout the free world. In fact, last week I was in London all week long helping coordinate the economic sanctions regime at number 10 and with the Treasury and Trade Ministry. And it's remarkable the amount of unity that's come together. I give a lot of the credit to President Biden. He knows these world leaders by name. And I did not miss the fact that it was mentioned to me on a couple of occasions that it sure is nice having a president of the United States willing to lead NATO rather than trying to destroy NATO. And that's coming through right now. But listen, most of the credit goes to the incredible resilience and courage of the Ukrainian people, President Zelensky, the amount of fight that's in their belly. It's been inspiring. And so we're doing everything we can right now, from economic sanctions to military assistance, humanitarian assistance, to help the Ukrainian people who are facing their darkest hour right now.
Some of your Republican colleagues have criticized the Biden administration for not doing enough up front to deter the invasion in the first place. What would you say to them?
Well, first of all, let's stop blaming America first. Let's stop blaming President Biden first. This is one person and one person alone who's guilty, and that's Vladimir Putin. But let's also not forget recent history. It was President Trump that was blackmailing President Zelensky, withholding military assistance in order to get him to do a political hit job on Joe Biden. And it was President Trump that refused to give President Zelensky an audience in the White House. And it was President Trump that withdrew our ambassador from Ukraine because he didn't like the way she was exposing a lot of the nefarious things that were going on there. So, I mean, the previous administration was doing everything that Vladimir Putin was hoping would be done against Ukraine. So we can play the blame game all we want here, but right now it's all hands on deck, and I'm incredibly proud that the free world sees this crisis for what it is. It's a battle between free and independent and democratic nations versus tyranny. And Vladimir Putin trying to expand a sphere of influence and resurrect a Soviet empire that no longer exists.
President Biden has asked Congress to approve $6.4 billion of aid. That would include money for both humanitarian support and some security assistance. What are your thoughts on Congress passing this package or something similar to it?
I anticipate wide bipartisan support. I mean, Congress has come together and see the urgency of the moment and the need to do more to Ukraine and the fighting forces there, but also recognizing the humanitarian catastrophe that Putin has created, standing up the refugee camps now just across the border. And it's not just us. I mean, we have great support throughout NATO, throughout Europe, many other nations throughout the world are contributing. And so we've never seen a coalition of this kind come together as quickly as it has in world history. And so that too, if I were Vladimir Putin, would cause a lot of pause in me and great concern about where all this is gonna end up. And I anticipate it's gonna end up very badly for him. And I'm happy that the economic sanctions are already taking root and impacting Russia's economy. The ruble's in a free fall. They lost 40% in their stock market the first day. They had to suspend their stock market because of the free fall there. And their banking system is cut off from the international finance system. So in a lot of ways, I think Vladimir Putin way overestimated the situation. He thought he had a divided Ukraine, a divided Europe, a divided NATO, and a divided America to exploit, and just the opposite is occurring right now. And that's why I'm confident that he's not going to be able to succeed what he's trying to do.
Talking to Ron Kind, Democrat representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District, looking at Ukraine and the Russian invasion there. Congressman Kind, President Biden has ruled out U.S. troops in Ukraine. There have been calls from some Ukrainian leaders, some here in the United States, to establish some kind of no-fly zone for Russian aircraft in Ukrainian airspace. What do you think of that idea?
Well, let's be clear. No-fly zone is World War III because it will bring us in direct military conflict with Russia. And then all bets are off when it comes to the escalation of that military conflict. So I think President Biden has been clear. NATO has been clear. And I think President Zelensky understands that that's not a viable option. Otherwise, you're going to really spark a World War III type of situation. Now, you know, Vladimir Putin was also rattling his nuclear sabers too a little bit. I think that was more to try to keep NATO out, that if we were to escalate our military confrontation. And listen, right now, the Russian military is completely exposed in Ukraine with long jammed supply lines, with a lot of their mechanized divisions stuck right now. I'm sure our military experts are looking at the situation, licking their chops, thinking, man, we could really hit him and hit him hard. But unfortunately, Ukraine is not a NATO nation, and therefore that mutual security pledge does not exist. And there's a reason why there's a process to joining NATO, and Ukraine hadn't completed that process.
Do you worry that supplying lethal aid directly from U.S. and NATO countries to Ukraine could be read as an escalation from Putin, lead him to respond more forcefully to Western countries? He could say, hey, you're sending gear that's killing our soldiers.
I'm worried about Putin's state of mind. He's been in a bunker for 2 years because of COVID. He has shut himself off from any advisors, and he's acting irrationally throughout this whole process. So, yeah, I mean, that is being calculated, and our intelligence agencies are doing their assessments of Putin's state of mind. But we've done this before. I mean, we armed the Mujahideen when the Soviet Union was in Afghanistan. They knew it. We knew it. The world knew it. And it didn't lead to an escalation at that point. But it's not just us, though, Rob. I mean, we have a united free world. Many other nations are contributing weaponry right now, including Germany. Their longstanding policy of neutrality when it came to military conflict, they have reversed that. Even a country like Switzerland, since the Second World War, has been prideful of their neutral position in world affairs, has condemned Russia and has frozen assets, joined the economic sanctions. You know, if you get in trouble with Switzerland, you're in a lot of trouble. That's like your mom calling you by your middle name. And so that just shows you the strength of this international coalition standing up in one collective voice saying, no, Putin, you're wrong, and you will pay a heavy price.
Do you see room for more sanctions, whether targeting Russia as a whole or more efforts to target people connected with the Putin regime?
Yeah, that's one of the things I was getting into over in Britain, too, because a lot of Russian oligarchs that have invested heavily in London, real estate, for instance, exposing them. We've got a special division at Treasury that can help track this money, Putin's money, too. Listen, they're very wealthy, so they can hire some of the best lawyers in the world and shell companies and third-party transactions to try to hide this, but we're getting a lot better at being able to identify it and start really hitting Putin individually and a lot of his oligarchs that have enabled him to stay in power. But a lot more work needs to be done. Ultimately, the key here is help Europe wean themselves off from energy dependence on Russia. I mean, they're getting 40% of their natural gas, over 25% of the Russian oil for their energy needs. We're stepping up now, trying to supplant that ourselves and with other countries through LNGs. Germany, I think, has a hard assessment to make on their future energy needs. And let's face it, we're still importing a little bit of oil from Russia ourselves for Alaska and Hawaii. It's not a lot, but I think symbolically we have to cut that off if we're going to be asking other nations to cut off Russia too.
Before we wrap up, Representative Kind, on the off chance that people in Russia are listening, are able to listen online to the show, what would be your message to the Russian people?
Well, the free world has risen up against your leader, Vladimir Putin. I would also advise them, don't listen to our former president. It was outrageous that Donald Trump was making complimentary statements to Vladimir Putin at a time when he was invading Ukraine. And when I was in London, Rob, I noticed that Russian media was playing that nonstop as their major propaganda piece. It's showing support for Putin and what he was doing in Ukraine. A former president of the United States being used as Russia's chief propaganda item is outrageous, and it was embarrassing. So I tell the Russian people, listen and look at what the free world is doing against your leader, and not necessarily what Donald Trump has to say about any of this.
Representative Kind, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
Ron Kind is a Democrat representing Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District in western Wisconsin. He talked to us today about Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the U.S. response.